God, I thank you for this morning. Thanks for a chance to come and worship you with some music and to look into your word and see what you have to say to us this morning. God, thank you for what this week is. Thank you for today being Palm Sunday and entering into the last week of your life. And God, help us to remember that as this week goes on. And God, thank you for what this week kind of culminates in your death and then in your resurrection, and your resurrection being the thing that gives us life. God, thank you for that. I pray that you'd be here this morning, speaking your words to us, and just hanging out with us, God, as we hear from your word and hang out with you and hang out with each other. And we pray your blessing on this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to be in Philippians, and so I got an extra special treat for you guys today. I brought my The Message Remixed, Bible. It's not a picture Bible, but it's kind of a cool one actually. here's the thing. So I've been thinking about you guys lately, and not only just you guys, but also, you know, just high schoolers in general, kind of in this area. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is that, you know, it's really hard to be a Christian. Like, it's just so hard. Like, it's so hard, I think it's almost impossible for a lot of people. I mean, have you guys seen that? Like, do you guys know anybody? Or maybe it's you. You don't have to say if this is you. But maybe you do. No, you don't. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Never mind. I'm joking to myself now. do you know anybody who will go to church sometimes or who say that they're a Christian, but they go to school and they just totally act totally differently? And they're not, you know, obviously a Christian. They don't, like, you would be like, huh, you're a Christian if you didn't know. Or, you know what I'm saying? Do you know people like that who say that they're a Christian or, you know? And here's the thing. I think that there's a couple reasons that could be. I think one of them is that they just really aren't a Christian, and it's either something that their parents are Christians or that a girl they like is a Christian or, you know, whatever. There's a lot of different reasons. But I think another one of the reasons that a lot of people are like that is because it's so hard. It's so hard. I think, why don't you tell, is it hard to be a Christian at your school? Maybe it's not. If not, then we might be done for the day. And so, but is it? Like, has anybody had any situations where you just kind of clam up or, you know, don't say something or you just, yeah, you want to share about it? You don't have to. Like, she didn't brush her teeth? Yeah. 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 I mean, I see lots of high schoolers like that. You know, I'll come on your guys' campuses or I'll just be hanging out wherever. And I see, and it's funny too, you know, the funniest thing for me is that when I first meet somebody who's high school or adult, I meet somebody, just kind of whoever, and we're talking, we're chatting, we're like, hey, what's up? And you know, they're like, effing this, and, you know, all just like talking how they normally talk. And eventually it comes around to like, hey, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm a pastor. And they're like, oh. And it's like, their language kind of changes, and their, like, demeanor kind of changes, and they kind of, like, straighten up a little bit, and they're just like, feeling awkward. And but you know, but that happens in and that happens with a lot of high schoolers too, I think. And so I've just been thinking about this and how hard it is for you guys to be Christians, for you guys to take your faith, for you guys to take what you learn here, for you guys to take what you learn in small groups, what you learn in church downstairs, and take that to your campuses and actually be a light on your campus. That's so hard. It's so hard to do. And especially when you have teachers who are hostile towards Christianity, you have other students that are hostile towards that stuff, and it's just so hard to do. And I just kind of wanted to take this morning and hopefully make it an encouragement to you guys. Because, you know, as Christians, God calls us to be, you know, light in the world and to be salt of the earth. And we talked a little bit about that for the past few weeks, and we talked about it at Hume Lake and stuff like that. But that's just so hard to do, and sometimes we just need to be encouraged by that. But so check it out. We're going to be in Philippians, and I'm going to start us in 3:2. I'm just going to kind of read this big chunk, and you can follow along, or you can just kind of close your eyes and listen if you start snoring. Hilarious side note. Yesterday, I taught two girls seminars for girls 6th to 12th grade on internet safety, and then I taught one for parents. And there was like 100 parents. There was this packed out room. And in the middle, I probably shouldn't share this. This is embarrassing for me. But in the middle, like, most of the parents were super into it, right? And they were asking questions. You'd be surprised, and it's so funny how little parents know about, like, MySpace and stuff like that. It's so funny. I'm like an expert on it, and you guys could probably run rings around me in it. But in the middle, I'm like answering somebody's question, and all of a sudden, there's like this, and then it gets like louder and louder, and this lady is like sleeping like this on the table, and everybody just starts busting up, and she doesn't wake up. Like 100 people are laughing at her because she's sleeping, and she doesn't wake up. I'm like, somebody give me something to throw at this lady. But all that to say, I'm going to read this section. No, I just kept going. I don't know. It was like a baby crying. Yeah. It was like a baby crying. So all that to say, I'm going to read this section. You can kind of just close your eyes and listen if you want, but don't snore. And and then we're going to be talking about the next section. But I like the language that the Message uses in this section, and it kind of sets us up. So this is Paul talking. It says, "Steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies, all bark and no bite. All they're interested in is appearances." I love this. "Knife-happy circumcisers," I call them. You guys know what circumcisers are? He's talking about the Pharisees, right? Knife-happy circumcisers. I might just call them that from now on. He says, "The real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it." So that's what I'm talking about, right? We're supposed to go onto our campus and just kind of share Christ with people. But it's so hard. He said, "We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it, even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials." So we can say, hey, we do all these good things. I get good grades. I'm going to a good school. I go to church all the time. We can list all that stuff. He says, "You know my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's word, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting Christians, a meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book." He says, "I've done it all." If you were to think of the person that's like the goody two-shoes, perfect person, the one that makes you sick, he's like, "That was me. I did everything right." The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and I'm throwing them out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. It says dog dung in my Bible. He says, all those things that I was good at, all those things that I used to take credit for, all those things that I used to brag about and take pride in, he says, I just tore it up and I threw it in the trash. It's dog crap. It's worthless to me. And he says, why? He says, because of Christ. says, I thought all the things I once thought were so important are gone. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master, everything else is garbage. It's dog dung. I hate reading stuff like that because then, you know, I can't help but just be like, oh, is that how I feel? Is that really who I am? I'm like, man, do I really feel like all the things that I used to take pride in or all the things I take pride in now are just they're worthless dog crap that I tear up and throw it? That's kind of weird that he tears up dog crap and throws it away, but but he does. It's in the Bible. But is that really how I feel? All of that is worthless compared to knowing Jesus? Something to ask yourself. You don't need to raise hands or separate you out or anything like that, but something to think about. Now check it out. Here's why. He says, I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules, do's and don'ts, the things that people tell you you can and can't do as a Christian. He's like, I don't want the kind of righteousness that comes from keeping those rules when I could get a robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. And then here's where we're going to start talking. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, and be a partner in his suffering and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. And we're not quite done reading yet, but you know, today being Palm Sunday being the day, you know, that Jesus entered Jerusalem and everybody worshipped him and everybody laid down their coats and they laid down their palm branches and he walked in like a conquering king and they all sang praises to him. So much so that the knife-happy circumcisers said, hey, why don't you tell those people to be quiet? They're praising you like you're God. And he says, if I told them to be quiet, the very rocks all around us would cry out. That is what today is. Now, in a few days, on Friday, we're celebrating something totally different. Somehow between today and Friday, everybody changed from Jesus, you're the greatest, I'm going to lay down my coat so you can walk over it on your donkey, and you know what donkeys do when they're walking around, and you know, on your coat. And they're like, I don't even care because you're so awesome. And they're singing, oh, Hosanna, praise you. You are awesome. You're our Savior. And somehow between today and Friday, that changed from that to crucify him. And then somehow, by God's power, from Friday, crucify him, to Sunday, he rose from the dead, conquered death, so that we can have life. And Paul's saying here, he's saying, if there was a way to get resurrection from the dead, if there was a way to live eternally, I wanted to do it. And he said, I found that way. And it wasn't through doing all the things that I do. It wasn't through all the things that I take pride in. It was through knowing Christ personally. So check it out. He goes on, and I think we're right around verse 12 or so. Now, it doesn't really have verses in here, but yeah. It's the Message remix. Remix. Thank you for the giggle. Yes. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I haven't made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. And he's saying, I don't have it all figured out exactly. This stuff still nags at me. I still want to look good in front of people. I still want to do what I want to do. He said, but I'm keeping my eye on the goal here. And what's the goal? Anybody know what the goal is? nobody. Exactly, Jesus. It's knowing Jesus personally. Just what he's talking about. Props right there. Christian school. Woohoo. I think we're around like verse 15-ish. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. And I thought about that, and I thought about you guys on your high school campuses and me when I go out to these girls' conferences, and I'm scared to death. And I thought about these things, and I go through these things, and I wonder, man, if I was a good Christian, what would I do right now? Or, you know, what should I do? Or what? How should I act? Or how should I be? And he says, you know what? Let's just keep focused on the goal. And what's the goal? The goal is to know Christ personally. The goal is to get to know who God is. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do that again. All they want is Easy Street. I live by Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross, but Easy Street is a dead end street. That's true. It is. Those who live there make their bellies their god. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. He says, check it out. If you're going to make it, if you're going to keep your eye on the goal, if you're actually somebody who cares about what God wants for you, then you got to keep your eye on the goal. And if you're going to do that, you can't do it by yourself. You just can't. It's too hard. He says, keep track of those you see running the same course. In other words, find some other people heading in the same direction. Find some other Christians that have the same goal, that have their eye on that same goal of knowing Christ. He says, if you do that, you'll be able to stay on track. Otherwise, there's all these other people going all these other different directions, taking other paths, having other goals, and you're going to head down one of those if you don't find some people going the same direction as you. And then he talks about, I love how he phrases it. He says, Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. I haven't met anybody who lives on it yet, but the Bible says it. It's true. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. And he's saying, these people are focused on themselves. These people are focused on getting rich, on making their lives comfortable and easy. That's their focus. That's what they're focusing on. And he says, you know what? Check it out. He says, you know what? Don't go that way. He says, but there's far more life for us. There's far more than just getting rich and getting fat. He says, there's so much more than that. And they're missing out on it. He says, we're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like His own. You know, mine's almost there already. My body, glorious. He says he'll make us beautiful and whole with the same power, powerful skills by which he's putting everything as it should be, under and around him. I know we just read like a ton of scripture there. But here's what I wanted to tell you guys today. I wanted to tell you to keep your eye on that goal. I know that it is hard to be a Christian on your campus. It is. And I know that when you leave here on Sunday mornings, you go and you watch TV and you listen to the radio, to music, iPods, whatever, and you go on the internet and you go to school, and maybe some of you even go and talk to your parents, and they're telling you all different kinds of things. And it's just hard to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. But he says, find some other people doing that. That's why we do small groups, is because it's so hard. It's so hard to be a Christian. And we want you guys to get to know a few at least in a way that's going to support you and encourage you and help you keep your eyes on that goal. But he says, find a few friends and then just keep your eye on that, because all the people are telling you all the other things. School's the most important thing. You got to get into a good college so you can get a good job, and you want a good job so you can buy all this stuff. He says, that's easy street, and all those people want are to get fat. Not literally. I don't think anybody really wants to get fat, but they just want stuff, and they just want to eat what they want to eat, and they want to get what they want to get, and that's the extent of their life. And he says, that's just sad. It's just sad, because as great as that is, there's so much more to life than that. And so I want to encourage you guys today. I know some of you guys are trying to be Christians on campus, and you get beat up. I've talked to a lot of you guys that happens to. You get beat up by by your peers, and you get beat up by teachers, and you get beat up by administration. You get beat up by coaches even. And that's just hard. But I want this place to be a place where you can get to know some other people that got their eyes on the same goal, that are moving on the same track, going in the same direction, that can encourage you, because it's just hard. And in fact, it's so hard, it's almost impossible. And it talked about it in the very beginning of what we read, that it's, we couldn't even carry this off on our own efforts. And not only can we not do it, he says, we couldn't carry it off by our own efforts, and we know it. He says, we need Christ. And that's why the goal is to keep your eyes on Christ. I just want to spend a couple minutes here. I want to pray for you guys, and then before I close in prayer, though, I just want to just give you guys a couple minutes to just spend some time with God. I mean, this is what we're talking about today, and what better time to spend some time with God than right here at church. So whether you want to mull over that Philippians passage again, or whether you want to just sit and just be with God, or if you just need to sit and rest because your life is so busy that you just go, 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 and you never have time to just sit, do that. And after a few minutes, I'm gonna pray for you guys, and then we'll be done. And I think I might get you guys out a little early today so you guys can just kind of hang out and get to know some people, or go get some food or whatever you do after this. So just spend a couple of minutes just kind of being quiet and getting to know God, talking with God, listening to God. This is from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, like around verse 7-ish, I think. And Ecclesiastes is a book written by a guy named Solomon, who's wisest guy to ever live, and he's searching for meaning. He's looking for meaning in life. And here's one of the things he had to say. He said, "I turned my head and saw yet another wisp of smoke on its way to nothingness. A solitary person, completely alone. No children, no family, no friends. Yet working obsessively late into the night, compulsively greedy for more and more, never bothering to ask, why am I working like a dog? Never having any fun. And who cares? More smoke, a bad business. It's better to have a partner than go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth. And if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. Two in bed warm each other. Alone you shiver all night. By yourself you're unprotected. With a friend you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped." God, I want to pray for everyone in this room right now. God, for these high school students that are trying to figure out meaning in life, trying to figure out what's meaningful and what's important. God, I just pray that you would show them what's important, God, that knowing you, loving you, and loving the people around them are what's important, God. God, you know how hard it is to follow you today, especially as a high school student. God, I pray that you would give each and every one of these students as a gift at least one friend who has their eyes on the same goal. And God, help them to focus on knowing you and loving you. God, give them the freedom to let go sometimes. God, give them the freedom to fail sometimes. God, give them the freedom to rest. Because we're so busy working like a dog, working tirelessly day and night. God, I pray that as we leave this place and as we hear different messages from all kinds of different people, and media, that you would help us to focus on you, that you would help us to go the way that leads to life. God, thank you for who you've made each and every one of these students. Thank you for what you've done in the lives of each and every one of these students. And God, thank you that you've been at work through every single one of them. And you've done work in other people's lives through them, whether they know it or not, God. God, we love you. Help us to get to know you more. Help us to get to know you personally, like a friend and brother. God, bless us with the time to be able to do that. God, I pray that you would bless us with people around us to help us do that. God, let this be a place where we can come and we can meet with you, with people who have their eyes on that same goal. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.